Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. We've got Walter Assey right here, president of Renofco. I am Joanne Backus, and together we will try to guide you through your home improvement needs. Big questions. It is busy as many people are dealing with the aftermath of Tropical Storm Debbie. Lots of basements flooded in the Montreal and the Quebec area. Good morning, Walter.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Let's talk a little bit before we take these calls. And we do have a lot of calls. 514-790-0800 is where you can call us or you can text us. Before we get to the calls, you have some advice for people dealing with this today, right? This is the aftermath of Tropical Storm Debbie that hit this area.
Yeah. So some serious advice that I'd like everybody to take extremely seriously. When you have sewer backups and you have a situation like we have today, which is you can't get through to the insurance companies, a lot of the emergency lines are closed, there's nothing you could do to hire people because everybody is overloaded. So you want to maybe do things and take things in your own hand and start doing it. So there are just few steps that I really like everyone to take in consideration before. Number one, do understand that this is, in most cases, a sewer backup. So you need to have a mask. You need to have gloves. You need to have rubber boots. If you had water above the plugs or above the electric baseboards, shut off the panel, shut off all the breakers in the basement before you get in.
Yeah, don't walk into the water willy-nilly.
No, I mean, don't be a kamikaze. Don't be a cowboy. It's only money. Your house is more important. Mm. And then work within your means. If you have back pains, if you have health issues, if you have lung issues, respiratory issues, sometimes it's just not worth it. So you have to pace yourself, a lot of people get hurt, they get injured, they get infections just because,
you don't want to add a problem to a problem.
To the existing problem.
Yeah. Let's get to some of these calls because we've got a lot of people waiting here. We've got Costa calling in from Montreal right now. Costa, take it away.
Yeah. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
I had a 1-inch, 2-inch of water in a basement. Mm-hmm. Exterior, not from the sewer, from above. Now, I just finished the basement. Next week, I was supposed to put the vinyl.
Yeah.
But I would like to let you know the composition I had. It was a very cement. I put a delta membrane on top of the cement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put a 2x4 and then the plywood.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, I was supposed to do the vinyl. And I didn't do it. Now, last night I had about 2 inches of above the floor water. I cleaned it right away. Now, my question to you is that the underneath, the subfloor, I don't think it was affected. And now I'm going to go to put a dehumidifier in the fan. So my question to you is that underneath, is that it was not affected, the delta membrane and everything. Is that clear?
If it's not affected, well, obviously you don't have to take it out. But if you had 2 inches of water everywhere, I don't see how it's not affected. My issue with the delta membrane is that it's corrugated. So the water somehow will get underneath. The issue with that is not that the membrane itself, it's not waterproof. It is. The only issue I have with it is you don't have air circulation to dry the water out. So it's like trapping water underneath a membrane that is waterproof, which is great, but it's dirty water and it's trapped there and it's not going to dry anytime soon.
I didn't have any sewer water. It was a bath. It was from a
garage.
From
where did you get it in the bathroom?
No, on the whole basement. It was from a leak I had from a window above.
Okay. So that's groundwater.
Groundwater.
Yeah, groundwater is category 2, so it's slightly contaminated still. It becomes really a question of common sense and, you know better, you've seen the water. If you find that there was excess quantity, you're better off taking out that membrane because you're going to see when you take it out, in certain places it's going to be wet and it's going to be damp. And just that dampness and wetness create what you call swampy conditions, which become breeding ground for mold and other things as well.
Okay, Costa, thank you for that call.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got, we have time for another call. We have Nurly. I hope I'm getting that name right. Nurly is calling in from Laval. Nurly, take it away.
Yes, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, hello, sir. Okay, yeah, I have a situation here. I'm very grateful my two kids were at home, 15 and 18. Got a call telling me that the basement is, the water is coming up. So it was coming up from the, I have a sump pump, just to, so that you know. But what happened, every time the sump pump goes off, the water comes back up in the toilet and in the standing shower. So what happened, the water started flowing through the basement, but I didn't have, like how some people had a big issue. It flows some sort of my in my basement, but not the whole place. So it didn't accumulate like 1 inch or 2 inches like that. Mm-hmm. Because my kids was there and they tried their best to, and I called my brother over just to help. So they kind of had things under control. Sorry, but however, it's still, the flow right now is a bit, swollen. Because I have floating flow.
Yeah. So
and it happens before. That's not the first time. Mm-hmm. But this time, it was way, it was worse than before. And what happens, normally sometimes, I know it's going to sound gross, but the waste, sometimes it comes up back in from the toilet, comes back up in my standing shower. So I don't know how can I fix this. That's my question. Thank you so much.
The first thing you want to do, and everyone should do really, because now it's an insurance requirement, you should install a backwater valve. So when the city sewers are overloaded, it goes back, it backs up into people's homes. Now, people that have a backwater valve, if, you know, it's, again, we're not talking about the storm that we had yesterday because that's not really the norm. But under normal circumstances, most of these homes can be saved just because they have that backwater valve. So it allows the water to flow out of the house, but it does not allow it to back up into the house. So that's probably something that you don't have right now, and I would strongly recommend that you install one.
Okay.
Floating floors, again, as far as materials, if it's starting to ripple, that only means it got enough humidity that it's starting to delaminate. But my issue is not really the floor as much as it was underneath the floor, which is a membrane. And it's a foamy membrane that keeps and retains water for a long time. Okay. You want to get rid of that.
Okay.
Thank you for your
call. So I want to get rid of the floor. So I need to get rid of the floor. Remove it.
100%.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Nurly.
Thank you so much. And you got the name right. Thank you so much.
I'm glad I got it right. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, and I am Joanne Brakes. It is a busy edition of the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey and Joanne Brakes with you. Lots of questions coming in about flooding as Tropical Storm Debbie hit Quebec, caused lots of damage in and around Montreal. 514-790-0800. That is where you call to speak to us or to text us. Dina has been waiting patiently on the line, and Dina has a question for Walter about flooding. Dina, take it away.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to know, because I've been hearing everyone that was talking about the flooding and the basement. I do had a pump machine, and that machine, when I saw the water everywhere, the furnace room, the garage, the floor, the room in the basement, floating water. And I was shocked to hear that the pumping machine that I had in the basement didn't work. So I called my son, and everybody else came to help me to suck the water. What do I have to do with the wood in the water now, in the basement? Do I have to change the wood? Do I have, like I've been hearing, Walter, that I have to take the wood off? the wood been made about 15 years ago, brand new, so I don't know what to do.
Discarding wet material is extremely important. This is not clean water, and even as such, we look at the composition of the floors. There is a subfloor, there's a floating floor right on cement. Even if it's clean water and there's a good abundant quantities of it, we recommend that you discard of the wet material as fast as possible. Whether it is floating floors, baseboards, drywall, anything that could absorb and retain water for long periods of time, or anything that is not getting enough ventilation or air circulation to be dried naturally. I understand it's painful. I understand it's, you know, not what you want to hear. That's not what most people want to hear. But believe me, you do a good discarding, demolition, cleanup job, and you're going to save money on the long term. I'd rather you have a clean, demolished basement that is well dried and well mitigated than a basement that is finished, that is full of mold.
Yeah, okay. I know, Dina, it's hard to hear, but the answer is it's got to go, right?
Got to go, the wood, you mean.
Yeah.
To change it, everything. So I have to call the insurance to come and see.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank
now,
you.
Now, my advice to you about insurance, try to go through their website. I know their lines are ringing off the hook right now. So you're probably going to get a better chance going through their website.
The website, because I do have insurance for the house by the CAA, so they can come and check it out.
That's exactly what you have insurance for.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We've got another call. Who's been waiting here? Oh, okay, we've got Rhonda calling in. Rhonda, can you hear us?
I can.
Take it away.
Hi. I have a tar and gravel roof with no attic. It's 1,600 square feet. Do I need Maximus vents? One contractor says no and one says two.
If it's a hot attic, the answer is no. If it's not a hot attic, the answer is yes.
Well, how do I know if it's hot or not?
Meaning if it's a ventilated attic or not ventilated attic. So the quick answer to you would be no, because most flat roofs are not ventilated. And that's what you would see. Did you have ventilation in it before?
Nope.
Then you don't need it.
But then all my houses on the street, the same design, who've done their roofs recently, have put in four vents.
Well, then they have ventilated attics. So that's really what the answer should be, the question should be. The roofing inspector that comes to see you have to look at it. Is it a hot roof or not a hot, a hot attic or not a hot attic? That's really what's going to answer your question. It's very hard to answer it just like that over the phone. But if you ask that question, then you should get the answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
So hot, if it's hot, it means no?
You don't need the ventilation. That is correct.
Okay, hot means no. Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Rhonda. Okay, who's next? We've got Robert from Beaconsfield. Robert, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Take it away.
Perfect. Thank you. Great show, and thanks for taking my call. So I have the same issue as a lot of people with the basement. It was flooded, unfortunately. So basically, my basement is half finished with a raised floor, maybe like 6 inches or so with carpet. And then the other part is just concrete, like in the furnace area and workbench area. So my questions are, I'm just wondering, I've taken all the water out. So now it's just a matter of, I guess, starting to clean. So I have a shop vac. Should I shop vac part of the carpet, or do I just take the carpet completely out on its own?
We're getting a lot of questions, Walter, about the shop vac being enough.
Yes. So that's a good question, actually, because in this case, it's a carpet. So if it's a glued down carpet, the good news is, and it's commercial, let's say right on the slab, then a shop vac may suffice if it's not a sewer backup, if it's a clean water. If the carpet have an underpad, it's a completely different story, because the underpad is your problem. So in this case,
I'm pretty sure there's an underpad, I'm assuming.
In this case, what you do is you could try to lift the carpet, You right. cut the underpad that is wet, and you keep it. You keep the carpet folded until you dry up the structure.
Well, I see.
Okay, so that way you can retain, you can keep the carpet. You don't have to replace it, especially if you're not making a claim. But you get rid only of the underpad, and then you only have to replace a section of the underpad that was wet. But it's very important when you fold the carpet or when you lift the carpet and you cut the underpad, you dry the slab before you install the new underpad.
So I'm pretty sure the water was contaminated, though, so it's probably not worth trying to save the carpet. It's just like you've been saying, if it's been a sewer backup, basically you should just get rid of it.
Just forget it, right?
Sewer backup, I would not even think twice about it. I would not even.
I think that's the golden rule, right?
That's correct.
So shop back, no shop back. If it's sewer water, adios. See you later.
It's out.
All right.
Do you have to clean the concrete with anything like
absolutely.
Bleach or anything like?
Things have to be dried up. You have to disinfect it. It have to be dried up and disinfected. Very, very, very important. Very
the items that are contaminated, like I've got, let's say a bookcase, but it's a solid bookcase. Is that something I can clean, or is that something that has to go? You know, I have a golf bag down there. Can I power wash that?
Yes.
There's a hide a bed. It's just the frame, which is like a metal frame. It's not like a regular couch.
So anything that is not porous, metal, plastic, leather, that all can be cleaned and disinfected with no problems. You could take them upstairs, put them in the sun. It's a nice day today. Have them clean outside. And that's not an issue at all.
Okay.
So once everything's cleaned, sorry for all the questions. Once everything's clean, what's the time frame when you should get somebody in to do a big cleaning, like to clean all the stuff professionally? Is there a time frame?
The sooner, the better. I mean, look, mold spores usually you have mild growth at 24 hours stage, and then it goes higher from there. So the sooner, the better. In this case, you might have to wait a lot longer just because of the situation.
Because everyone's calling in. Robert, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for all your help.
All right. Good luck with the rest of it. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, a busy show. Lots of calls coming in about the flooding post-tropical storm Debbie, 514-790-0800. Walter Assey, president of Renofco, is here to take your calls, answer your questions. We do have one on the text, Walter, that I think is really important. It says, hi, Joanne, and hi, Walter. Just to be clear, as all the flood restoration companies are overwhelmed at this moment, should the flooded homeowners start cutting their walls and floors and throwing things out as soon as possible with masks and gloves themselves until help arrives? Or is that too dangerous for your health if you have a young family, for example? And this comes from Kathy in Dorval. Should we, do it ourselves?
That is a great question. With conditions, you could start doing things yourself with conditions. Number one, if you know how to work tools, if you know what you're doing, if you don't have a bad back, there's a lot of ifs there. How much you're able to do and how much you can, do you have any pre-existing medical conditions?
Do you know what you're doing?
And
right?
Do you know what you're doing? So I'll give you an example. I have, some of the homeowners texting me or asking me questions like, can we install fans meanwhile? The answer is no.
Mm.
And it's a big no with capital letters. No, you cannot put commercial fans in an undried situation
because
of the sewer backup. Now, this is contaminated water. You put fans before you demolish, and you are literally blowing all the volatile compounds everywhere in the house. Ugh. So the magic thing and should put would be dehumps, dehumidifiers. The bigger, the better, the more, the merrier. Because you want to kind of dry the air and as much as possible decrease the relative humidity in the air. Do not use bleach.
I know. Listen, my instinct was to throw bleach on everything.
Don't ask me why. But there is this misconception out there that if you put Javel on mold, it's a good thing. All contractors say that. And I don't understand it. It's not the case. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Ministry of Health website, it says, do not use bleach on mold.
Okay, don't use bleach.
there are mold disinfectants, there's Foster, there's Cognorium, there's mold control, there's many different products, and these are the right products to use. So please, if you're gonna do something, do it while you're doing it with some research involved. Do not just jump at it. Talking about masks, you need P120s, not just a regular paper flimsy mask. That
doesn't
work.
Not the blue ones.
Because you have VOCs in the air, and you need the P120 is made particularly for that. It's HEPA filtered for particulate, and these specifically, it's not the P110, P120 for sewer backup. Okay, for these types of damages, if you wish.
I do want to ask also, and we will get to these calls in a second. There was a texter here who said about the water, right? This is an interesting one. How do you know if it's sewer water or groundwater?
That's
like, how do you
question.
Know you're in trouble?
Yeah. So looking where the water is backing up from is important. Now, if it's groundwater, usually it goes in through the windows, or let's say it's coming from the garage door to the inside. That's usually what you call groundwater. So the street floods and the water comes in through windows, through openings, through foundation cracks, and so on and so forth. If you see your drains in the basement bubbling, so it's coming out from your toilet, from the floor drains, from
shower.
Your sink, your shower, that is a sewer backup. That's pretty much how you make the distinction.
And that's the no-go. Okay, let's get to some calls here. Who's been waiting? We've got Lena. Lena is calling in from Montreal. Lena, good morning. Lena, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, Lena. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Take it away.
Yes, hi. I was calling because, sorry, I'm in the middle of doing some work at a rental property. At the rental property, there are tenants, they had called us last night and they had mentioned that they were getting water from the patio door going inside the basement. There wasn't a lot of water that went in, like apparently there was like, I would say maybe half an inch of water that was coming in. They dried it as quick as possible with a shop vac. We went and get, we dried it with towels. We ran a industrial fan in the basement like all night. Now, the flooring in the basement is cement. Then on top of that, there's ceramic. And on top of that, we have put vinyl flooring. Do we need to remove that?
The most likely, the vinyl flooring would have to go.
Okay.
Most likely. Now, you said half an inch, and that's what's probably half an inch everywhere, right?
Well, no, not everywhere. That's the thing. Okay. It was only in certain areas.
Okay. So the good news for you is that if you've bought the right quality vinyl lat flooring, you can unclick it and reuse it. So what you do is you unclick the wet areas, you dry, you disinfect, you dry the backing of the vinyl lat, and you reinstall back the same lat.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I don't need to worry about like the ceramic part and the cement part. That dries, right?
That dries if you allow it to dry. Okay, so after you wash and disinfect, that's when you put the blower. The blower, if you have it on now, do not put it. It's not a good idea. Usually you want to discard the wet materials. You want to wash, you want to disinfect, then you use the blowers because now you are, you know, the air is clean. So you're not, you know, you're not
spreading
blowing
the particles.
Air and spreading the particulate all around.
Okay, what do you mean? We don't use the fan?
You don't use a fan in a sewer backup before you start ripping out the wet materials.
It wasn't sewer backup, though.
What was it?
It was just water from rainwater.
From where?
From my patio.
Okay, so then you could use the fan. That's not an issue.
Okay.
And the vinyl lasts, like I told you, from the vinyl, you could just take out the areas that were wet. You dry them, you wash and disinfect the backing of the lats, and then you install them back.
Okay, so how quick do we need to remove these lats? Because I don't know how to remove them.
How quick, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, in your case, you're a bit luckier than a lot of the other callers because it's not a sewer backup. So that can wait. I mean, honestly, it's not a national catastrophe if you don't take it out right away. But eventually, you would need to get to it.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. There's a question here about removal of the furniture or the wet items here, and it's coming up quite a bit. A lot of people wanting to know, Walter, if they should wait for the insurance before they start getting rid of those things, because eventually you'll need the insurance to replace those things.
You're right. Now, it varies from one insurance company to another, but the main thing I want to say is documentation, videos, and pictures. We want to call it a natural disaster. There's a very good chance insurance companies are not going to get to you for days and even weeks, and in some cases even longer. I don't know. Now, you are supposed and obliged as a homeowner to minimize the damage. So not doing anything, waiting for insurance company is going to cause damage aggravation, which is, in certain cases, not covered. The insurance might give you heart problems. So not doing anything is actually worse for you, worse for your home, worse for your house, and probably as far as insurance is concerned. You are allowed to take action within reason. Now, any wet furniture can be taken out of your basement. If you want the insurance to see it, you can even put it outside and keep it until they come. Unless they tell you by phone that you can discard of it, then you can, as long as you take pictures and you document everything.
Document everything. This is the Home Improvement Show. Reminder, 514-790-0800. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is taking your questions. And I'm Joanne Backus. Sorry, we are giggling with Walter Assey because I'm shooting questions at him left and right, and he doesn't have time to answer, and I have another one. This is the Home Improvement Show. We are continuing to take your calls, 514-790-0800. Tony is on the line with an important question, I think, about insurance. Tony, take it away.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Walter. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. There's a possibility that the insurance is not going to cover, or it's not actually our home, the water damage in the basement. I think it got flooded to like 6 feet. What would the cost be if it had to be done, you know, just to demolish and remove all the materials like the studs, the sheetrock, the flooring, et cetera, to get it to the bare cement?
The quick answer to you would be it's usually by square footage. That's okay. Number
it's about
one.
800 square feet. Yeah. 700.
I mean, look, unfortunately, it's in the thousands. I can't give you a price right off the bat because it's not just about the demolition. It's about the demolition, removal, and disposal of the debris. Mm-hmm. It's about the drying, and it's about the disinfecting. So it's with insurance companies, usually, the way it works, I'm just going to explain you the system so you can maybe work under that system.
Mm-hmm.
We all work with evaluation softwares that are accepted by insurance and by fire and flood restorators, softwares like Sembility or Xactimate. And usually what you do is you enter the code of everything that you are demolishing and discarding, and it then shoots a price at the end, and that will be the price that you pay. The reason these things are put in place is because obviously insurance companies and fire and flood restorators, they manage volume. Like today, for example, thousands of calls and thousands of people flooded. So you can't sit and bargain on every little file.
Right.
So that's pretty much the way it's usually done. Now, when someone does not have COD, does not have insurance and you want to pay COD, they can choose to be treated like insurance companies are treated, and then things are mounted on Xactimate or Sembility, or they can just ask for a price. Usually, my experience tells me, depending on the size of the basement, is anywhere between 8 to 18,000, really.
8 to 18,000. Yeah. Okay, that's without insurance.
That's without insurance.
Just to like demolish.
Yeah, so demolish, remove debris. I'm just to give you an example. The container itself is about 1,600.
Okay.
So and then add everything else. Now the drying equipment. You need blowers. You need dehums. You need HEPA
machines. Right, that's after it's clean, though. I mean, after it's demolished. Once it's down to the cement.
That is correct, but that's a very important step that you should not miss.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Tony, thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot.
We've got Linda on the line. Linda's wall is leaking. Linda, take it away.
Hi. I saw the water coming accumulated on the cement floor of the unfinished side of the basement. I mopped all of the water, and it's dry now. And the wall has a gyprock, and the wall is facing the porch, so I'm thinking that the water must have seeped through from the porch. It happened in 2017, and I called the foundation repairs, and they told me that it could be the rusted pin shrinking, and that leads to the water leaking, and they put some polyurethane in some of the spots because it was very difficult to see where the water was leaking from, because in 2017 it wasn't as bad as it was now. I'm going to get the gyprock walls removed again, mm-hmm. and I need to know what else I should look into in order to figure out where exactly the water is leaking from, and if I should replace the gyprock wall, part of it.
So when you're going to take out the drywall, that's going to be a much easier way to diagnose the problem. You're going to have full access to all the pinholes that this gentleman is mentioning, and or if you have a foundation crack.
Yeah. Typically, I did that last time.
Yeah.
And got the drywall removed, and then that's when, he came and then he put the polyurethane in thinking that it could be due to that, because we couldn't figure out why the water came through. And so I'm having exactly the same problem now, but intensified than what I had last time.
So there are a couple of things you want to look into. Number one would be, is the water, is the land sloped towards the house in the back? Because that could also mean the water is, your French drain is being saturated with water and finding its way back into the home. Now, the good news for you when you expose your drywall is you could see how high up the water is coming from. So if it's coming from the rim joist, it could be just from a patio door that you have above it that is leaking. If it's coming from, let's say, midway through your foundation, that's more likely than not to be a pinhole or a foundation crack. If it's coming from the bottom, then it's a French drain issue. So that's typically the way you want to look at this. What I would recommend for you is to open it and keep it open for a while, just for you to be able to assess and or document exactly where the water is coming from. Then the professional can zero in on the problem and fix it right in its tracks. The other thing you could do at a faster ratio is see where the efflorescence in your concrete is forming. So typically when you have a leak in the foundation that is repetitive, it will create efflorescence. And that is really the telltale signs of where water is coming. If we're lucky, we even see some rust and some water tracks or water stains that will lead us to exactly where the problem is.
The water, like the last time when it happened, there were just tiny, marks. So we suspected maybe it was from that, and then he injected in those places. There is no patio door, or the land is not sloping or anything like that.
Okay, so it's probably a foundation crack or a pinhole issue, or a French drain issue.
And when you say French drainage, what is it?
Linda, we've run out of time, okay. But maybe you can try to contact Renovco.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
you.
Your call. Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Busy, busy show. Thank you for taking the time. Maybe you'll get some rest.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. We will chat again next week. That does it for us.